different, but we're going to talk about the finished work of the cross or the miracles of the cross. When Christ died on the cross and said, "It is finished," the incredible result of that, and the way that the blessing that came on humanity. So I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Just reach your hands out towards me, because I was just so touched by the Holy Spirit. I'm overwhelmed. I'm sorry that I have to be, my emotions had to be affected in the whole thing, but Lord, we receive your grace to minister your word to your people. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said amen and amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, that's not the King James Version, which I normally use. And I just want to start out by talking about a personal testimony. We believers have a personal testimony. We should have. About what the word says the blood does. Every believer needs to grow in that understanding of what the word says the blood does. And back in probably 2003, I have a whole series of teachings in a notebook about the blood of Jesus. And it's really probably, I don't know, I have five or six messages there that give as much detail as I can understand about what the word says the blood does. And I really believe it's an area that every believer needs to take serious. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him," talking about Satan. He is the god of this world. And it's obvious that he is at work in the world. You know, the Bible talks about us in the world, you will have tribulation. We're not going to get away from that until Christ returns. It's a sin brings madness. It just really does. But the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You know, the blood will do no good unless it's applied to your life. And you have a personal testimony of it. You know, they could put the blood in the Old Testament in the basin, but if they did not take it out and sprinkle it with hyssop, the blood was not applied and it had no effect whatsoever. Okay. So we need to develop deeply within us a testimony, a personal testimony about the word, what the word says the blood does. Nobody can have that testimony for you. That's something that you have to have and you have to take personal. And the Bible says that in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. To redeem means to buy back, to pay a ransom price. And think about it for a moment. I don't know if I can put it in proper words, but the blood of Jesus is so precious, it paid for the redemption of humanity. How can you put, it can't be, a price cannot be put on it, the cost that Jesus paid. We seem in this life to term everything in what it cost. Okay, and the ransom price, that was what was paid on the cross. I'm very grateful that when at the point of death, I found Jesus answered my cry, or I would have gone off into eternity without him. That's pretty serious. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the vain conduct received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the first benefit of the blood is a personal testimony. We have a personal testimony, or we are to establish ourselves in a correct personal testimony. And that testimony is that through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. That has to be a testimony that we establish in our heart. I am not his victim. He does attack us and try and find ways to destroy our relationship with God, our health, our future. I asked the Lord one time, how do you see me? And I got an answer. He said, I see you redeemed through my blood. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. In the middle of the night, I said, Lord, how do you see me? What do you see? And he said, I see you redeemed by my blood. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And of course, the thing that applies the blood, our hyssop, is our, and enforces Satan's defeat, is our personal testimony. Okay, so it's very important to define our testimony. And we need to define it in a way that is perfectly scriptural, no error there. And the thing that applies the blood and brings Satan's defeat, of course, is our personal testimony. And sometimes, you know, Christians have everything but a testimony. And, I'm guilty of that myself. Now, when we teach about redemption through his blood, we only have legal rights of redemption only so far as our sins are forgiven. Now, there's a big deception that has crept into the church. The church is. And Jude 4 talks about it. I just want to quote that. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God. Now, there's a lot of there's tremendous teaching on the grace of God today. But they turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm saved. I can do anything I want now, and you'll see that that teaching is there. God, let me just put it this way. God's word offers total forgiveness. Say total forgiveness. Forgiveness is total. His blood covered every possible sin that could have been committed, but the unpardonable sin. What's the unpardonable sin? Person denies Christ until they die. That's the unpardonable sin. But it offers total forgiveness, but if there is any unconfessed and unforsaken sin, then in that area, Satan has a claim on our life. It opens a door. Now that's how it should be taught. So personal testimony number two. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. Didn't Jesus come to save us from our sin? Absolutely. Okay, and they're all forgiven. You know, the Bible says that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Anytime we walk after the flesh, you know, we feel guilty about our sin. That doesn't take away our salvation, but it hinders our walk with God until we pray. So we have all my sins are forgiven. Say, all my sins are forgiven. The cross covered any and all possible sins other than the unpardonable sin. People dying without Christ in their sin, never receiving forgiveness for their sin. That's the unpardonable sin. And there are people that commit that sin. And then as I was looking at these notes that I had, I realized that Romans 6:6, I realized that one of the points that I didn't have in there is knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, your old self. There's no sense forgiving our sins and saving us from our sins to be in that old man. They call it the old man. That the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer serve sin. I know we have a flesh and we are tempted, but you know what? In that new man, you don't like to sin. You don't like to live in guilt and shame. Okay? That's a personal testimony. Your sins are forgiven. I no longer, the blood of Jesus, I really know that it cleanses the conscience from guilt and shame. So there's no sin too great that the blood will not cleanse. Over on Jackson Street one time we had I don't even know if the guy's alive, and he was a great man. He was a big guy. And he cursed at God. And he told him off. And he came to me. I told God off one time, even though I didn't curse him, but I, you know, we don't understand God. He's got big shoulders. And he finally, you know, one day he was, I don't know how it happened, but he said, I've committed the unpardonable sin. I said, well, what did you do? He says, I got mad at God and I cursed him. I said, that's not the unpardonable sin. He will forgive you for that. When somebody gets mad at me and they curse me, I forgive them for it right away because I'm a forgiver. Okay. No. That wasn't the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is dying without ever receiving the forgiveness that Jesus paid for on the cross. I repeat that so that you remember it. Because there is an unpardonable sin. And some people commit it. I'm not one of them, and you're not one of them. And don't tell me that you've never been angry at God. Well, maybe somebody's holy enough that they never were, but and then here's another one, and I got to be careful that our time, you know, will run out because. But here's another one. This has been something that I've been very concerned about in the body of Christ. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. See, you know, we claim to have fellowship with God, but that fellowship is proven by our fellowship with others in the body. I remember a book. And I don't know if I ever read the book, but by John Bevere, and it was called Satan's Bait. And it was about people, Christian people, taking offense at one another and never reconciling the issue. I don't know about you, but what's in my heart is if I've committed a sin against you, I want to take responsibility for it, and I want reconciliation. When people sin against me, I just forgive them. What they do, I don't know. I just see too many people offended and walking away because they're falling short of the glory of God, the love of God. And fellowship is broken. And the blood is not applied to that kind of a situation. Now, I don't want to get into this one. One day I'm going to teach on it for my own sake and others. But I take it very serious. And many claim the cleansing, but they do not meet the conditions because they have unforgiveness towards someone in the body. I'm not talking about someone that's evil and in habitual sin. I'm talking about another brother and sister. And quite frankly, we all fall short in ways. And we need to be accountable, and we need to be willing not only to be accountable, but we need to be willing to forgive. Or we're falling short of the cross and the power of the cross. And I did some powerful messages on forgiveness. Well, let's move on. But 1 John 2, 9 and 11 says, "He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Testimony 3, the blood of Jesus is cleansing me now and continually from all sin. Not just one time, but continual. You have been washed, you are being washed as long as you walk in the light, as long as you learn forgiveness and reconciliation in relationships, you're walking in the light. To me, it's a big deal. When somebody just walks away without any attempt of reconciliation, there's something wrong with that. Keep me off that message. But it needs to be taught. So that's our third testimony. The blood of Jesus is cleansing me now and continually from all sin. Not just one time, but is continually you have been washed and are being washed as long as you walk in the light. Big deal. Big deal. Romans 5, 8, and 9, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I guess his forgiveness was a big deal for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified means made righteous. A gracious act of God whereby he pardons and accepts sinners on the account of Christ's righteousness imputed to them and received by faith. Okay, I receive Christ's righteousness. I really do. It's a gift. The word justify, to absolve or declare one innocent, acquit a sinner from the guilt and punishment through the impartation of Christ's righteousness. Now, his righteousness is equal with Jesus' righteousness because it's the same righteousness. God sees us righteous, and it's not a double standard. We are and will continue our walk as being called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we find that the word just, you can substitute the word righteousness. I have been made righteous just as though I never sinned. Hard to believe that, isn't it? But it's true. That's the way God sees us in our righteousness, or his righteousness. I like 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, we're not the righteousness of God in ourself. It's in him. It's his righteousness. It's a perfect righteousness. It can't be improved on. It can't be added to. It can't be taken away. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God, the righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Romans 5:17, for by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And that whole idea of abundant, receiving the abundance of grace, it's so powerful when we understand that we were reconciled through the blood of Christ back into a relationship. I think we might have dealt with that the last time. We were accepted. The scripture in Ephesians, it's so rich, and we were accepted in Christ or in the beloved. In other words, what that means is that we were accepted by the Father just exactly how he accepted Christ. There's no double standard. This is powerful. This is the miracle of the cross. These are miracles. To be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, to have direct access into the presence of God, to be accepted by God. Actually, we became God's children, to be adopted by God. These are miracles. Every one of them is a miracle of the cross. Every one of them. And we could go on. We need to understand that. And yet, so many times we fall short of living in condemnation for sins we haven't even committed. The enemy is a master of condemnation, of guilt, of shame. You know, and he uses people to do that to us. I like Romans 5:17 again, for by one man's offense, death reigned through one. Much more, everybody say much more. His redemption was much more than the fall. Much more. Those who receive the abundance of grace, those who we're receiving that grace to be his children. We're receiving that grace to understand that we're accepted. We're receiving that grace to understand that we're forgiven. We're receiving that grace to understand that we're reconciled not only to God, but his children. It's powerful. We're receiving that grace to understand that we're God's chosen and children. And yet we live in a constant attack on our hearts and minds to try and restore that reality. You know you live under attack in different ways. Satan doesn't want you to feel good about yourself, your relationship with God, your relationship with others. And then Paul says, if righteousness came by the law, Christ died in vain. In other words, there was no need for the cross if you could earn it through your own good works. And then Galatians 2:21, do not set aside the grace of God, for the righteousness comes through the law. Then Christ, if righteousness comes through the law, if you could earn it, then Christ died in vain. God gave the law partially to help man understand he could never earn his salvation. It had to be through the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:17. I got to watch my time here, but I... For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Say that not of yourselves. You know, the Bible says that there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And that way is that man, since Adam and Eve fell and sowed fig leaves, that's the only thing they could do. They had no power to overcome their sin. So they had to make up their own religion to try and cover their shame. And that's what's going on in the world right now. Men have made up religions where they're attempting to earn their salvation. I remember way back, and I'm not trying to, but we had to make penance, and then we had to, you know, say, we were always told 5 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys, and then when we're done, we got to go up and blow candles out. And of course, it ended with money to pay to try and appease our guilt. Just crazy religion, ritual. I listened to a testimony of one, I guess she was a Catholic nun, and I'm not running that down, but she said, I spent my whole life trying to appease God by fulfilling daily rituals. didn't have much to do with a relationship with God. She was doing what she thought would appease God and bring salvation in the end. And she found out that she needed Christ and his blood. Religion is the biggest deception, one of the biggest deceptions in the world. And people are committed to legal mandates that they think is going to earn favor with God and earn their salvation. They'll be surprised at the end. The Bible talks about self-righteousness. Are you still with me? Okay. It just says that we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind. Have taken us away, and we become in Christ's righteousness all that God requires of man to be all that he could never be himself. I'm glad that you're righteous and that I'm righteous, but it's God's righteousness. I'm not trying to earn what Christ already provided. We are resting in what Christ already provided, giving him the glory. Paul writes in Philippians 3:9, and be not found in him having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness is of God by faith, by faith. By faith, I receive what he's done by my faith. So we owe it all to him through our union, Christ Jesus, who he has made him our right standing. We can stand before God now without guilt or condemnation. We can enter his presence because we have the revelation that we are his righteousness. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:30, I'll read it. We've still got a couple minutes. Are you okay with it? Okay. See, we have to learn to get good teaching, not this nonsense. Where, you know, the preachers would never even think about saying anything about hell that's unpopular. People don't want to hear it. But they probably need to hear it because that's where they're going. See, not found having our own righteousness. Let me just put it this way. Good people die in their sins. I know that's shocking, but they're self-righteous. They think that their own goodness is going to enable them to stand before God. That's not a popular message. Somebody said, "Well, I'm okay. I'm a good guy. I'm really a good person." Well, they're comparing themselves with other people. That's how they're measuring their goodness. I know I can't earn my salvation, my eternity with self-righteousness. As good as great of a person that I am, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And people are deceived into believing that their own goodness is going to give them a salvation testimony. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? Hard message, but needs to be taught. And then on top of that, like I said way back, you know, in Jude, they turn the grace of God into justifying lifestyles that God condemns. And that's what Matthew 5:20 says, "For I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will no means enter the kingdom of heaven." See, they had a standard of righteousness that was man's righteousness. And of course, those that were under them, they had to live up to their expectation. And of course, they never really realized the secret sins that they were in. Testimony number, really, it's four or five, it's really five. Through the blood of Jesus, let's say it. Say it with me. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, made righteous, just as though I never sinned. You know, God is not angry at you. Matter of fact, he's not an angry God. He's a merciful God. You know, the one time he got frustrated and angry in the Old Testament is the children of Israel 10 times denied their redemption out of Egypt, and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. You know, God said, okay, if this is what you want, you don't want to come in, you want to go back into Egypt, you want to live in your sin. He gave them 40 years to get it right. I think that's pretty good. Hallelujah. Well, I've been saved over 40 years. And I've had to do some real repenting at times. Hallelujah. I just stretch my hands out as an extension of God. He's in all of us, but he's in me. I speak miracles, signs, and wonders. I speak, release the Holy Spirit to minister his power to all of us. He when God works, calls us, that calling can never be fulfilled in your natural ability. It has to be fulfilled through his miracle power, or he would not get the glory. And it just seems difficult at times when you're up against a... I'm gonna do some teaching on some areas of miracles where it look